Dreadful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell. I am the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and the creator of the Celestial Timings. This is an audio that's looking at the fixed star Kambalia located in the constellation of the Virgin Priestess. So just a reminder that in shamanic astrology, we use the alternate names for the constellations to help reduce the confusion between the sign names, the signs, the seasonal signs that are also named the same names as the constellations. So this constellation is also known as Virgo. However, the star Kambalia is actually located at 7 degrees and 7 minutes of Scorpio. Spica, the brightest star in this constellation, is at 24 degrees Libra. And over time, these seasonal signs shift 1 degree every 72 years. And in fact, about 5,000 BCE or 7,000 years ago, the sign that was overlaying the constellation of the Virgin Priestess, actually connected to the star Spica, was the summer solstice of Zero Cancer. That point in the sky has now precessed or moved back to the galactic cross near the galactic edge, and that's audio for another time. But anyway, it's moved quite a bit through, all the way through the lion, all the way through the Virgin Priestess, all the way back through the lion, all the way back through the crab, all the way back through the twins, back to the cross. So over 7,000 years, it has moved about a quarter of the way back through the constellations, if we used that Spica as a starting point. Interestingly, this particular constellation, the Virgin Priestess, has been seen in by most cultures throughout time as a feminine expression, either a goddess with wings, an angel, the Virgin Priestess. It's also been seen as Virgin Mary in more recent times. And so it has been associated primarily with the feminine, the divine feminine. The Egyptians felt that when the summer solstice was with this constellation, and when it actually precessed and moved out into the lion, that the goddess left the earth at that time and returned to the heavens. And the reason that she did that was because she was distressed by human behavior, so she went back to the heavens. And the Greeks have a story about Astraea, who's also connected to this particular constellation of the Virgin Priestess. And Astraea was the last goddess to leave the earth. That you know, all the gods and goddesses had primarily left the earth, gone to Mount Olympus and left the earth and kind of left humans to their own devices. But Astraea was the last one to go, and she hung out as long as she possibly could. So that's the story that the Greeks tell about it. when we look at the constellation, the constellation has its own energy, its own unique stories. Different cultures have projected different imagery and meaning upon the constellation, and similarly on the stars within the constellation. So you can listen to the audio that I've done on Spica to get more about that. And now Kambalia, marking the foot of the Virgin Priestess, is a star that is connected to secret knowledge. Kambalia is actually a Coptic word, and it is the root word of Kambalia is the same as the root word of Shambhala. They have a similar meaning, and Shambhala is the place of where it's like heaven on earth, bringing heaven to earth. And interestingly, if we think of Kambalia as being connected to secret knowledge, and Shambhala being connected to heaven on earth, and only, I guess, the secret knowledge, you can have access to the secret knowledge if you know how to access it. but you need to be sort of let in on the secret of how to access it, or be questing to figure that out, or, you know, searching for that information. It's not just readily available. But that's something that if you have a strong enough desire for, and, you know, prove yourself in some way, that knowledge can be opened up to you. So the other thing that's connected to Kambalia, this is a Coptic word that is thought to mean crooked claw. I think like the literal translation, crooked claw. And many feel that it's connected to the symbolism of the swastika. Now, I know that for many of us, the imagery of the swastika immediately invokes something evil, you know, Hitler, the Second World War, evil things. But the reason that Hitler actually used this symbol was because it is a symbol of power. It is a symbol of victory as well. That goes way back to far more ancient times. In fact, where I live in Arizona in the Southwest, there are many petroglyphs that have swastika imagery, you know, that are the swastika imagery that are thousands of years old. And I just read something somewhere that talked about how in the 1920s and 30s, when Arizona was putting their symbols up for the highway signs, they actually used the swastika in honor of those petroglyphs. But then, of course, after World War II, after the whole Hitler thing happened, they took that down. So the imagery of the swastika is, you know, the four-pointed, spinning, sort of, it looks like a claw-like thing. So that's one of the reasons that it's connected to the claw. And the literal meaning of it, I found several literal meanings, actually. Means to be good. It means to let good prevail. It means to be established in one's true identity, that of the soul, you know, our true identity being connected more to the soul, being with our higher self. It has to do with victory, victory, and especially of Dharma, the victory of Dharma. And it also is associated with blessings for everyone as a symbol of prosperity and good fortune. Now, interestingly, the Nazi symbol of the swastika was actually literally turned 45 degrees. So they shifted it. And so that it's not the true original swastika symbol that you find in the petroglyphs or you find in India, and you know, many ancient cultures across the planet had this symbol. And basically the symbol is a symbol of secret knowledge, of the knowledge of the turning of the ages, of the world cycle, of the origin and duration of the world. It's like a clock. It's like the hands of a clock spinning and turning. The four points of the swastika represent the four seasons, the four directions, the four elements, and also the four yugas of time from India. And they use the swastika to represent that. So there's the Satyuga, the Golden Age, and then the Treta Yuga, when that's more the Silver Age, and the Dwapara Yuga, which is the Bronze Age, I think, or the, yeah, might be Bronze or Copper Age. And then the Kali Yuga, which is the Age of Darkness, the one that we're in, and we're getting ready to shift and go back to a Golden Age of Satyuga, according to the way that the swastika then becomes not only a clock kind of telling us what time it is, it's in a sense a calendar or a clock, both of those things being somewhat similar. Interestingly also, the swastika is very similar to the Native American symbol of the whirling rainbow, which is very similar kind of imagery. And the whirling rainbow is their promise, the promise that was given to these, to the Native tribes, of peace and plenty for all people in all nations. So in a sense, representing a golden age. And again, this is all connected to this fixed star Kambalia, this interesting sort of knowing the mysteries and the underlying aspect of what is connected to this particular star. And Shambhala, if you think of Shambhala as also being the place of heaven on earth and a golden age and all of that. So all of these things are interrelated. Another thing to know is that Kamsa from Kambalia, the Coptic, or the Arabic, actually I think is the Arabic root, means five. So there's also connections to the pentagram, and it has connections with the secret of life, having to do with the spirit and the ways that we can transcend or enter the transcendent realms and connect more to our spirit. We could say the maybe the more humanly embodied part of that would be the sacred wine that takes you into an altered state, and sometimes maybe not such a great altered state, depending on how, you know, how conscious a person is in their use of that as a way to get to a more transcendent state. So the ancients felt that this star, actually, when if people had planets, angles, or nodes within a few degrees of this particular star, and the ancient alchemists would use the a 6-degree orb for a Bohemian star. More recently, I think we've used more like a 3-degree orb, and this star being at 7 degrees Scorpio, if you have planets or angles at between 4 and 10 degrees of Scorpio, then you have a personal connection to this particular star. We could extend that out a little bit if we want to, because I really feel like whenever I see planets within 10 degrees of a star, or as some area of the sky, you can definitely see that there's a relationship and a connection that's happening, that those light codes, there's an exchange of information and energy there. So, you know, maybe we could extend it from 0 to 15 or 17 degrees of Scorpio for people who may be tuning in and feeling if you've got a connection to this particular star. So it would suggest that this gives a person the ability to do deep research of any kind, but especially into the esoteric, occult mysteries, alchemy, and for the purpose of really acquiring spiritual power. Now, according to Dr. Eric Morse, who wrote a book called The Living Stars, he says that there's another companion star to Kambalia that's known as Ghafor, and that is Ghafor, G-H-A-F-O-R, is a word that is Arabic for protection. And his speculation is that, if we're going to be doing a journey to acquire spiritual power, then it's important to have protection along the way to support that quest for spiritual power. And he gave the example of how, you know, many spiritual leaders can fall into what seems like gray error or sin as they are walking a razor's edge with the more power that they attain. And the power can become the thing that captures their attention rather than the spirit, you know, really going for the goal of what it is to be connected to presence, the spiritual presence. So what this brings up for me and something to know, over the next 2 years, from 2012 into 2014, maybe even early 2015, is Saturn passing through Scorpio, but for all of 2013, Saturn is with this star, Kambalia, within a few degrees of this star, making 2-3 exact passes over the star. And this one of the reasons it's inspiring me to create this audio at this time. But anytime there's a planet with a star, this, all the things that I'm saying are applying. Saturn having to do with structure and form. It'll be 30 years before Saturn comes back to this area of the sky. So the intention of Saturn would be to create a form, to create a structure, to create a safety net that allows us to connect into the secret knowledge, you know, to into the intensity and passion of Scorpio, diving deep into the occult mysteries and acquiring that spiritual power, that connection to source and, you know, the essence of presence and so on. And then being able to have ways of knowing when to, when we're drifting from presence, when we go into fear, when we go into anger, when we go into other ways that maybe take us out of that sense of connection to source, connection to, you know, divine presence or the spiritual presence that is the underlying essence of who we are at all times, but, you know, we can forget. And I also appreciated that Dr. Eric Morse used the description of flying an airplane in his book, The Living Stars, and that for this particular star, actually, and saying that when you drift off course with an airplane, when the airplanes are actually drifting off course all the time, about you know, 99% of the time, they're constantly having to be corrected. So whenever we drift from presence, whenever we drift from source, we make a course correction. We return to presence. And like the airline pilot is constantly returning the plane so that we'll get to where it's going. The faster or more powerful a person is traveling towards their goal, the slightest little drift will take them more further off that course. So it requires that, you know, that constant course correction to bring it back. So yet returning to the presence, the place of presence, if we've gone off track and maybe go off quite a ways, with the attention brings it back and just as quickly back on course, just as quickly. So very important to think about in terms of connecting with this particular star and Saturn helping us to create the ability to do the course corrections. What does it take to bring us back to presence, back to source, back to that connection with our higher self, which is really what Kambalia, the word, you know, is all about. And if we think about the connection to the swastika symbol, which is the higher self and our true identity and that connection to source. So just something else to keep in mind is that the Virgin Priestess also reminds us that as we sow, so shall we reap. You know, what we're putting into intention, what we're putting out there is what we get back. And really the secrets of magic is our thoughts. What are we thinking about? Our words, what are we speaking about? Our actions, what are we doing? And that's what actually creates in this reality. So if we are going to work with magic, we need, you know, with this particular star, with Saturn, with this star, especially in 2013, one of the ways to work with that is to connect to or be conscious of, be present with what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing, and also then to know the timing and to be in alignment with what our soul's purpose really is, our dharma, you know, the victory of dharma, Kambalia, as well as then knowing the timing. And this is the absolute timing. It was, to me, such a remarkable timing with Saturn being with this star for so many weeks, months, really, literally months, from the end of 2012 into 2013, to the end of 2013, actually, the opportunity to really connect and create the forms that will you know, have the timing that really supports us in creating the forms to be connected to our dharma, to bring heaven to earth, to be in the magic and the mystery, and to know to really have access to the secret knowledge that helps us to accomplish these wonderful intentions.